So, before I share my testimony, I have to share a little story. So, where I grew up in Taiwan, I heard that I surrender all every single Sunday when I was growing up. And can anybody take a wild guess when do they sing "I surrender all" during the church service? During the offertory. It's real, they have that. And as people walk forward to put their money into the box, the worship team sing "I surrender all." But anyway, so like Heidi said, I'm from Taiwan originally, and I graduated from a little junior high school about between 12, 13 years or so ago. And in Taiwan, you had to apply to go from junior high school into high school. So after I took my national exam, my family and I were waiting for our little school to tell us when to send in the application. Well, we waited too long, and music school does not recruit at little town, so we missed the application deadline altogether. So at that time, we decided we're going to give school here a try, and so we went to this agency that signed kids up for school in United States. We signed Nebraska Christian School. At the time when we signed the paperwork, we didn't know Nebraska is a state, neither did we know Christian is a religion. So a few days later, I flew into Lincoln, Nebraska. And that little tiny town that I grew up in Taiwan, just a perspective, is one of the smallest, has 200,000 people in there. And so when I got to Lincoln, like middle of the night, it was a shock to me. And so a teacher picked me up from the airport to the dorm. And a few hours later, the sunlight came out. I look out the dorm window. Inside the skyscraper, the school was surrounded by cornfield. And so that's in a nutshell, I ended up in Central City, Nebraska. And school began with Bible class, no matter which grade you were. And so it was not the first time I hear Bible and Jesus, because when I was growing up, as I mentioned, my family went to a Christian church. But like Book of Isaiah says, people have eye, they do not see. People have ear, they do not understand. And I heard the gospel hundreds of times when I was growing up, but it just went in one ear and went out the other. And so when I was in Nebraska Christian School, it was the same thing. I learned just enough about Bible that I can pass the Bible class. But at the first year, during Christmas season, I was playing the piano during a Christmas concert. And this farmer, Dave, he came over and listened to me play on the piano. And we started a conversation, and Lord knew how they went, but it went from we were talking about music, and all of a sudden we were talking about guns. So, and this farmer popped the question. He said, "Would you like to do some shooting?" And I thought, "Well, I never touch a gun, so why not give it a shot?" So, and then this farmer pretty soon took me out on his farm. My first time touching a gun was AK-47. But anyway, this farmer has his unique way of reaching out to people. So anyway, him and I became friends after that. And so, fast forward to when I was a junior high school, junior in high school, this farmer started to take me out deer hunting. And in Nebraska, it went from deer season goes from September to the end of December. And so, when he started to take me out deer hunting, it happened like this: five or so in the morning, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, 3 days a week, I will call him that early. And Bible talks about love is patient, love is kind. This man never missed my phone call once, even though I was calling him at such an awkward time in the morning. But he would faithfully pick up the phone call and come to school and pick me up and take me out hunting. Driving from the school to the river, this farmer would share the gospel with me. And so I had the privilege to hear the gospel over and over. And because I never practiced my bow shooting, my deer season literally lasts 4 months long. But because of that, this man would share the gospel with me 3 days a week. And even though I was not responding, this man was so faithful. He just kept on repeating the gospel message with me every single time we go out. And so, after deer season, towards the end of my junior year, I asked him one day, "Why are you willing to do this for me?" And this is what Farmer Dave said: "My love for you is nothing like the love of Jesus. He died on the cross for your sin." And so that was when the gospel message finally clicked to me that I gave my life to the Lord when I recognized I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And that was when I realized that just like Acts talks about, there is no other name under heaven except Jesus that men shall be saved. And it didn't click to me. The gospel never clicked when I was in junior high school, and it didn't click for 4 months of deer season either, but towards the end of my junior year, it finally did. And so this is one of the things that we always encourage people, that you don't have to be Billy Graham to lead someone to the Lord. Jesus talked about when he and the disciple were walking past a crop field, he said, look, the field is white and ready, and harvest is plentiful, yet labor are a few. This man truly demonstrated that Farmer Dave knows that I need Jesus, and he was willing to go that far, sharing the gospel 3 days a week and taking me out hunting, paying fuel out of his pocket and all his time that he has given so he can share the gospel. And so you don't need to be Billy Graham. You don't even have to be a pastor to share the gospel. All you take is look around you and see there's many around that doesn't know Jesus. As well, the other lesson of today is go buy yourself an AK-47 and start sharing the gospel. But anyway, that is how I came to know Jesus. And Heidi will share a little bit how the Lord brought us together, and we'll continue with our music.
So people are curious, and so we like to answer people's questions all at once with our story of how we met. And initially, I had heard about Kevin because he studied at UNK, and then I played in the symphony orchestra at UNK. But he was doing things that I had never heard of a college student doing before, and that was using music as a platform to share his testimony, which sometimes he would get denied, and the journey for him to do that was not easy, especially in the setting of the University of Nebraska in Kearney. However, he did it, and on his own initiative. Well, I thought by signing a contract to be in his symphony that I would get connected with him. We'd play a little bit of music together, and then it would be happily ever after. But that's not what happened. And you heard Kevin loves to hunt. Well, he's still true to this day. My family grew up eating more venison than they did beef. We took as much free venison as we possibly could. And so he caught wind of this. So one night he was on his deer stand, hoping and praying for that buck, and it never came. And so on the drive home, he continued praying and asking the Lord to bring that buck. And that was a bad time to pray about that specific thing. And it jumped out in front of his car and he hit it. And so he wondered what he should do with it. He remembered, my family eats venison. And so he brought it over, and I hear this knock on the front door unexpectedly. And there he was, the man of my dreams with a dead buck. What was I supposed to do? I knew that if I turned him down, I might not ever see him again. And so I said yes, and we spent our first date cleaning a deer. Very romantic. But all in all, it turned out to be a pretty good deal because I just got him for a buck. So for the past five and a half years, as Kevin and I have traveled together prior coming to Frontier, we have gone to many different places and played music, and we have learned along the way that just as a missionary learns a different language to effectively reach the group they are in, so it's a kind of the same with music. We've traveled to a lot of rural areas and small country churches, and we realized that it's important to speak the heart language for them, and also if they were wanting to do an outreach, to speak their heart language with music. And so we're going to do a little bit of that. We hope maybe it's a little bit of your heart language too. So enjoy.
Thank you.
did you hear? I'm curious.
Country roads. Back in the saddle again. You don't hear that one as much anymore, yes. Don't fence me in. Home on the range. In fact, I think that needs to be our next project, is putting Psalm 23 to Home on the Range. If there's one passage of scripture almost everyone knows, it's Psalm 23, right? And then connecting that, there's something about how Jesus reveals himself in a way that is understandable. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Probably one of my favorite pictures that I saw at someone's country home was the picture of a rancher on his horse in the middle of a blizzard carrying that calf home. And so what a great illustration of what Jesus said when he said, I'm going to leave the 99 and look after the one sheep that is lost. And so the pictures that Jesus reveals himself through in the Bible, even in the places in this kind of setting, being a rancher or a farmer, it is definitely so relatable. So we also love bluegrass music, but I often wondered, where did we get bluegrass music? It didn't just appear out of thin air. So we're going to travel a couple genres that will lead up to some bluegrass and gospel music. And one of those is some Irish music. So the Irish brought over their jigs, which highly influenced the fiddling styles and leading to the bluegrass styles that we enjoy now.
Thank you.
So I asked a pastor one time, is it appropriate to say yeehaw in church? And he said, well, maybe not, but amen is always appropriate. So just letting you know. Okay, we have a couple more. These are more like the traditional American melodies that will lead into the gospel and bluegrass. There will be a couple of them. We'll see if you can recognize them. Okay, and then transitioning into a gospel and bluegrass piece called Power in the Blood. Thank you.
So before we play the last piece of music, I just want to share a little brief message. Don't worry, it's not going to last for an hour long. But so if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke 14 here. And I'm going to read from verse 15 to 27. And so this will cut across a little bit from one section to the other, but I'm going to start from verse 15 all the way to verse 27. So verse 15 says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then Jesus said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, and bring here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" And this got a little parallel as well. So at Matthew 22, I believe, the verse go on for a little bit. At Matthew 22, verse 14, it has, at the very end of that section, it actually read out, says, "There are many who are called, but few are chosen." And so that's just the parallel verse coming out of Matthew. But I'm going to continue to read a little farther down the next section. "Now great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life as well, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and follow after me cannot be my disciple.'" I'm going to stop there. So the reason I want to share this is because when I first came to Christ, it was through this farmer, Dave, who led me to the Lord, taking me out deer hunting. And first 5.5 years of our ministry, that it is, even though hunting was what this man used to share the gospel and led me to the Lord, it was the biggest stumbling block in my life as well. It's like Jesus talked about putting him first, seek first the kingdom of God, then everything will be added to you as well. But in my opinion, when we first got married, in my opinion, well, I'm going to serve God through music, but I'm going to also accumulate as much free time as I can. Whenever I don't have anything to do, whenever we're not ministering to people, I'm going to sneak out into the wood and go hunt. And so even though I came to know the Lord through this man taking me out hunting, it was like my idol before Jesus. And we would go to different nursing homes. Heidi and I would go to different nursing homes. And I can recall, and she will testify this too, sometimes we will pack so many nursing homes, we will go from one to the next, and then we will have ministered to five different nursing homes by the time 4 o'clock hit. And nursing homes don't do anything after 4 o'clock. So when we're at the very last program at the nursing home, the moment when clock hit 4, instead of staying after the program is over, instead of staying and share more gospel and chat with people and visit older people, I would tell Heidi, "Let's pack up and go. I have just an hour of sunlight that I had to go out in the wood." And a lot of time, and I still remember, I was intentionally scheduled out, so during the hunting season, I wouldn't go. Like even when a friend at the nursing home have a birthday, I would intentionally say, "Well, we will come celebrate your birthday past hunting season at a different week." But it was so important to me that it was like, as we were reading in this passage, there's many that are called to ministry, and there are many. I believe this section in general, just it's not even talking about people going into ministry. It's just simply referred to many people are going to be exposed to the gospel message, but there's always excuse and reason why we couldn't take Jesus more seriously. And then us, it's so interesting how this parable of the feast where the, all these people were invited. Immediately after that, Jesus is talking about, unless you hate everything else in this world, you cannot be my disciple. It's just really interesting how they are grouped together. But even though a lot of your Bible probably put them in a different section, have a little subtitle underneath it, but I believe they are all so related to to each other. And it was just like that when we first ministered to people. I always have excuses and reasons why I couldn't, especially when it comes when the time started to push close to hunting season. The ministry focus. No, I go out and we go out and play music and share the gospel at nursing home, but my heart is not in there. And as I think about it, in the spring as well, Heidi and I go out and look. We will go out and look for deer antler out in the pasture. We will walk, hike hundreds of miles. Sometimes in 1 week we will hike. We would have hiked like 10, 20 miles just in a few days. And then the next week or so in the spring, we would hike even more in a desperate hope of finding deer antler in the pasture. And it's just, and I always had excuses, but I never make excuses when it comes to hunting. That I recognize that when Jesus is calling me to follow him, I always have reason and something that always come up that I had to do this first, I have to do that first, and then I will study Bible after that, and I give God my life over. That's pretty much what I always feel like the first 3 years or so of our ministry, that I give Jesus my life over. And when it comes to time where nursing home people are needing us the most, I'm not really thinking about how we can utilize our gift to serve them best. I'm thinking about how I can do what make me look good, make me look so good. I do my duty out there, play my music and share the gospel and head out the door and go hunting. But we just want to encourage you as you look into your life. There are many Christians outside of Sunday morning, there's no life. Like other than on Sunday morning, they dress nice and come to church, sing and hear the message. The moment when that is over, they go out the door, and the rest of the week, when it comes to time spent with the Lord and serving Jesus, worshiping him, everything else is just like this. I have just bought the field. I have just bought an oxen. I have just got married. There's always reason and excuses that we couldn't serve Jesus more. But Jesus talked about you cannot follow him unless you hate everything. When he talks about even mother, father, children, and wife, all the way down to the some of the hardest thing that we had to say no. I had to serve Jesus first. Jesus even talked about in a different section that whoever looks back at when they are plowing is not worthy of me. And it just served as a reminder to me that Jesus said the gate is really narrow and many will enter the gate that is broad and that leads to destruction. There are many Christians that maybe they first hear the gospel. I don't believe people can lose their salvation, but many who will be exposed to the gospel, they will be like the seed that sprout on the rock that the root doesn't go deep, but it looks like it appears like they are saved when they first hear the gospel. But then after that, things of the world and everything else has come, and no more fruit is ever being bared. And so we want to encourage you as you leave church today. Just like when I examine my life, how hunting has become my idol. Is there any idol in your life that is taking more importance than Jesus? Some of them, the common one, I have to apologize that I'm going to name it, but Husker. Whenever we go out and we tell different churches that we're going to, we like to go host a worship outside of Sunday morning. A lot of pastors, they will host us outside of Sunday morning, but they always have to say, well, we got to check on Husker or Super Bowl schedule. And it's just such there are so many people value things of this world that are so important that when opportunity of worship and serving the Lord come, they won't go. They will not choose to follow Jesus. They will walk away and serve other different things first. And Jesus talked about you cannot serve me and money at the same time. And so it's not just about money or Husker or hunting, fishing to me, or outdoor and everything else is that it's talking about just pretty much every hobby, everything that ever takes more importance than Jesus. And so as you leave today, examine your life and see which area of your life that you can give up more so you can follow Jesus wholeheartedly. So at this point, is there any children in this room? I'm just curious. Or are they? Okay. So to finish the last little bit of music, I'd like to invite the young children to come over. And I'm going to play a classical piece of music. And children are welcome to come close and watch. So, and this last one we're going to play is the Flight of the Bumblebee.
So thank you again for worshiping the Lord with us this morning. It's been a joy to be with you here, and we look forward to visiting with you more afterwards over a meal. So thank you so much to Hank for all the visits we had on the phone and for letting us come share this morning. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.